Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so good to be with you here in worship this day. Our hope is that this worship service touches and inspires your life. We hope that it's a blessing to those of you who are with us here in the church, but also for everybody who's watching online. We hope that if you're watching online, you'll just take a moment and share what is going on here in this church with your friends on social media. You never know who might experience some hope and grace in the midst of these trying days. As we gather here for worship, I want to let you know that our service this morning will be continuing our stewardship sermon series about living a generous life. And we're going to be talking about hope today, which feels like an apropos topic as we move through this year. What's making you hopeful? What are you finding your hope in? We'll continue to visit those themes as we move through worship this morning. I want to let you know that our worship service will be led by video, as we've continued to do in terms of the music, but we also have Susan and Mike here, and we're grateful for their presence. And Liz and Suzanne will also be assisting up front here as our liturgists and hosts. So we hope that this service moves you as we gather for worship this day. Thank you for being here. May God bless us as we worship God together this morning. Amen.
God of heaven and earth, we come together to worship you from different places in our lives. Whether we have plenty or we struggle, help us to focus on what's important in life, loving you and loving others. We thank you for all you have given us, and we pray that you will show us where our gifts can be used to bring your kingdom to earth. In gratitude we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Bailey Brown. I am the Children and Student Ministries Director, and this is our Young Christians Moment. For the young ones in the audience, if they'd like to, they can join us. Up here in the front row, we have some spots marked out that are evenly spaced, so you can come up if you'd like, or you can remain in your seats. It's up to you. So you can totally do that if you would like. We have been talking about gratitude the last few weeks and how gratitude can lead us to want to give and share with others. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about helping others. And so who here has been helped by someone in their life before? Pretty much everybody, right? Everybody receives help and everybody needs to receive help. So we all need to be helped sometimes, and that's just the truth of the world and the way that the world works. So one thing, though, that Paul talks about in his letter to the Philippians is he says that we need to look to the needs of others. And something that I find that maybe I do, and probably a lot of us do, is that sometimes when we're looking, we kind of have our eyes like this, and we're looking down. And when you're looking down and your eyes are like this, you can't really see who's around you. You can't see the person next to you when you've got the blinders on. And so what I find is that a lot of times I need to ask God to help me take those off and to take that away so that I can see the needs of the people around me. So when Paul encourages us to look to the needs of others, let's try to remember to take the blinders off and look and see the needs, because when you see them, that's how you can meet them. Maybe someone is sitting alone and you can go be their friend. Maybe you can write someone a little note of encouragement. Maybe you can help rake someone's yard. It's getting a little rainy and wet, so maybe not. But pretty soon the leaves will be buried by the snow, so then maybe you can help shovel your neighbor's sidewalk. There's lots of ways that we can help others, but we have to be looking for them so that we can see them. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for helping us to see the needs of others and meet the needs of others. You encourage us and want us to help and love your people, so please just help us to go through this week and see the ways that we can be helping and meeting the needs of the people around us. Thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture today is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that is really life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to hope. Amen. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call, which isn't unusual for clergy to get phone calls. This was the kind of phone call that no pastor ever wants to get. It was on a Saturday night, and it was the evening of prom in one of the communities that we served. And unfortunately, the phone call came in. It was the grandparent of one of our youth at the church, and they said, "Pastor John, we need you to come to the hospital. There's been an accident." And I got in the car and I drove as quickly as I possibly could to St. Joe's Hospital in Pontiac, Michigan, where I found one of our youth who was laying on her back looking straight up at the lights of the ER room. And I remember looking at this youth, and what had happened was they were driving to the dance on prom night, and nobody had been drinking, nobody had been engaged in any kind of foul play, but they were driving in a Jeep and it had just gone off the road. They were probably having a good time, and the Jeep rolled 5 times, and in the midst of that rolling, this individual from our youth group was jettisoned outside of the Jeep and landed about 20 feet down on concrete, and her back had been skidded up and was just in terrible shape, broken multiple bones in her body. And I remember walking into that room thinking, what in the world am I ever going to say? And she looks up at me and she says, "Pastor John, why did God let this happen to me?" I suppose it probably would be a question that anybody would ask if they were in those kinds of circumstances when you have a plan of what you're going to do and it's an exciting plan. I mean, I've seen pictures from folks here in Brighton of homecoming photographs, and it got me thinking about this memory that I had of a person in our youth group in Rochester. And the only thing that I could think of to say after she had been through everything that she had been through, rolling over in the Jeep 5 times, being ejected out of the vehicle, and looking up in this evening sky to see up into the heavens where God is, this question that a 17-year-old has on her mind, why would God let this happen to me? I said, "You know, I have to say, if God wasn't on your side, you probably would have been able to ask God yourself." Frankly, she was lucky to survive that moment. And maybe as you sit here, right here in 2020, maybe you feel lucky to have survived, because it feels maybe to you like we've been flipping over in our own Jeep here in 2020, and we're all laying on our back looking up at the stars wondering why God's letting this happen to us. It's easy to ask that question. I don't know, maybe 2020 has been great for you, but at least for me, I am personally looking forward. And in the last couple of years, it has not been a huge deal to me, New Year's Eve at the end of the year, to stay up until midnight to watch that ball drop. But I am here to tell you today that when that ball drops in Times Square, I will be watching. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year will probably never sound as good in any other year as it will this year. Amen? Whew. I'm not really superstitious, but there has been something about this year. Amen? it's been rough for a lot of people, whether it's been medical diagnoses or loss of job or whatever may be going on in your personal life. Some of you are grieving the loss of people that you care about incredibly deeply. And this year's been hard for all kinds of folks. And I'm here to tell you that as we gather in this worship space, we are a people of hope. That when it feels like we have nothing left, we have this faith to hold on to, this unique story of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to have hope even when circumstances seem extremely dark. There were folks in Poland who were Polish Catholics who continued to practice their faith because sometimes I believe that people of faith do their best work when the times seem the darkest. There's something strange about our faith because these Polish Catholics, during a time in Poland when Christianity was outlawed, continued to meet in church basements and in home basements, and under the cover of darkness continued to praise God's name even when it was against the law. And something happened. The communist leaders of Poland had outlawed religious gatherings all across the country, but Pope John Paul II, who was born in Poland, decided that he wanted to come home. And so arrangements were made and communication went out between the Vatican and the authorities in Poland that this planned visit was to take place. And sure enough, the authorities in Poland said, John Paul, we're going to have to ask you to wait. And so he did. Several months this happened. It was delayed, delayed, delayed. But the Vatican continued to reach out to the Polish government and said, Pope John Paul II will come home. So sure enough, he landed in June of 1983. And the authorities of the Communist Party in Poland had said, there probably won't be that many people gathered. It probably won't be a big deal. Maybe no one will show up. After all, the faith had been outlawed for years and years and years. And sure enough, as the Pope's plane landed in Poland, millions of Polish Catholics showed up to pay respect to the faith that they had held on to, even in the midst of it being illegal. There were some that say that that was the end of communism. The fall of the Berlin Wall was all but inevitable at that point because it was the church that even in the midst of those dark hours held on to this hope that Jesus Christ was alive. There have been other periods in history that have been extremely dark. If you think back to the days of slavery, there were folk who continued to hold on to the faith that someday their faith in Jesus Christ would deliver them from the bonds of oppression and slavery. If you just look at Harriet Tubman, who claimed the United Methodist faith as her own doctrinal tradition, this outrageous hope that slaves could be liberated if brought forth north on the Underground Railroad. It was a faith, a belief, a vision of things not yet seen that held them to this hope. At the end of the day, the church has been under persecution in a variety of different capacities over the course of the last 2,000 years. But quite frankly, I always have felt that the church does its best work when its back is up against the wall. When things seem the hardest, when it's hardest for us to worship and be together, sometimes we hold on to that hope a little bit tighter. And it's my hope that as we move through this pandemic, through this year, through this season of our life, where it's easy to get caught up in the fear and in the anxiety and the doubt, I'm here to tell you that we as people of faith have the greatest hope that anybody could offer. I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the election to be over. Mostly because I just want to be able to go online or tune into my favorite news station and not see any political ads. Can you imagine if our candidates, instead of advertising for their own platform would have just spent a quarter of the money raised to invest in the good things that we all want to see in the world. I don't know about you, but these days are kind of hard to hold on to that hope. And I think back to Jesus's time, another time when people who called themselves people of faith were persecuted. And I think about how God chose to save the world. Here, Jesus born into Bethlehem, this tiny little community, a family from Nazareth, this backwater town in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, this place that over the course of human history had been conquered by the Babylonians and the Persians and the Egyptians. This place where people were hopeless, praying, God, please send somebody to deliver us. And they were hoping for a military leader or a king that would deliver them from this oppression. And God says, I'm sending my own son, this tiny little baby who will be born in a stable because there was no room in the inn. Talk about a strange way to save the world. And Jesus didn't bring an army. He didn't bring a huge political party. Jesus brought 12 ordinary, simple, plain people. Disciples that he would train up to go out and plant churches all across the Mediterranean. What a strange way to save the world. And I'm here to tell you that as Jesus' life ended, that feast that he presided over on the Last Supper, he looked the disciples in the eye and recognized that they too were afraid, they too were anxious, they too were searching for some source of hope. And Jesus was crucified on that Friday. And I imagine that that felt pretty dark also for people of faith. I imagine that they were pretty scared in that moment, wondering whether or not God's word would become true. But the story doesn't end in darkness. Jesus' story is a story of outrageous hope. That even death and disease and COVID-19 and fear-mongering amongst both political parties these days doesn't get to have the final word. In 2020, by God's grace, someday will come to an end. So we're people of hope. The church is that place that continues to kindle the flame of those who are hopeful. We are light bearers of the story of hope against all odds. Paul writes this letter to Timothy. This letter is probably dated, 1 Timothy chapter 6. This letter is probably dated at the year 150. It's about 100 years after Jesus was crucified that this letter is probably penned. And he writes to Timothy, who's planting a church, a brand new church in the city of Ephesus, which is now modern day Turkey. And he writes this letter to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, be faithful. Continue to do the work that God has called you to do. Ephesus is a beautiful town. It contains one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, this massive temple that was built to the goddess Artemis. And Timothy's church planting there. He's trying to tell people it's going to be okay. He's trying to tell people that Jesus offers us hope. Well, that church would become another, and those churches would continue to multiply until there were churches on all seven continents. 2,000 years later, we are the inheritors of all of that faithful work. The Apostle Paul in this passage tells Timothy to tell the early believers, don't build up your hope on possessions. Don't rest all of your hope in a 401k. Don't rest all of your hope in a beautiful home that's secure, that makes you feel safe and comfortable. Rest your hope in the things that are eternal. At the end of the day, God is on our side. God is in control. No amount of financial security, or wellness or well-being will ever be able to provide the same level of security and hope. Why do I know that? Because at the end of the day, when the 17-year-old was laying on her back looking up at the emergency room lights, it wasn't a 401k that was keeping her hopeful. It wasn't a beautiful home in the Rochester area that was keeping her hopeful. It wasn't a bunch of other material possessions that were keeping her hopeful. At the end of the day, what she wanted to know was, is God still on my side? Why would God let this happen to me? And friends, we can say, even as we lay on our back, jettisoned 20 feet out of a car that had been rolled multiple times, which to me feels like 2020, when we lay on our back and we have nothing else to do, and we look up to God, God is still on our side. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that even when we fear and when we doubt and when we're scared and anxious and afraid, we know that you've been here, that you too know what it means to suffer and to grieve, that you've experienced pain and loss as well. You do not abandon us in our hours of greatest need, but instead, you allow us to focus on that quiet and faint flame within us, the flame of hope, which against all odds continues to burn. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John, for those encouraging words of hope. As we center ourselves now in a time of communal prayer, I'm thinking about generosity in our prayer lives. As with any activity or skill we want to improve or habit we want to create, developing a generous prayer life takes practice and repetition. It can also help to identify a goal and ways to achieve it. In the last few weeks, I've established a goal for myself that I wanted to do yoga or stretching every day or nearly every day. And one of the benefits of this practice has been in teaching my body how to relax on command. And that practice has served me well as I watch the news or read Facebook and all the anxiety that comes from those activities these days. It has really helped just slow me down, right? So that practice of being in touch with my breath and my body has also become part of my prayer practice. So taking in the Holy Spirit as a deep breath invites in the Holy One and centers me for holy conversation. So as we pray together now, will you join me in beginning with a deep breath? God of power and love, we invite you into this prayer time. We invite you into our lives. Your love for us knows no bounds, and we celebrate and worship you. We thank you for this time and place to praise you, to connect with your word, and be inspired by your beloved children. Lord, your generosity knows no bounds, and we are grateful for your blessings in this world. We confess that sometimes we hold tightly to things that were given so freely and generously from you, our time, our love, our resources. Help us to be generous in our prayer life and in our acts of service so that your name might be praised. May our generosity be a reflection of your values to love mercy, do justice, and walk humbly with you. We pray for your guidance in all these ways. Lord, each one here and each one praying and worshiping at home right now has concerns on their hearts. We lift these needs and ask your blessings. In this community, we have loved ones suffering illness or awaiting diagnoses or enduring difficult treatments. We pray their suffering may be eased and their bodies and minds free from pain. We have families and loved ones who have passed on and now rest with your company in heaven. Comfort these families with your peace like a heavy blanket on a cold night. As fires continue to rage out west and storms repeatedly barrage the south, and the death toll of the coronavirus marches on, we are reminded of our human frailty. Help us to sort out how we can help those in harm's way and how to work together throughout this community, nation, and world to care for your creation in ways that are life-giving and life-sustaining. We pray too for our pastors and church leaders for their health and well-being during stressful times. We ask for blessings on them as they guide, discern, and lead in ways that bring glory to you, Almighty God. We pray for our local and national governments that they may be doers of justice and peace. We pray that our elections may be peaceful and bring healing. Lord, hear our prayers. Help us to open our ears to hear your voice. And now let us lift our voices together, repeating that prayer Jesus taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, there are many ways to respond to God's word in our midst. We have hope because we believe that the future is better than the present, that God is in control. And one of the ways that we can respond to God's word in our midst is through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And there will be a basket in the back, some offering plates in the way back. And as you exit worship later on in a little bit here, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue. Throughout the month of October, we've been hearing testimonies from folks here at our church who God is touching their life, doing something in the midst of their life. And so today we have Olivia, who's going to be sharing a little bit of her story and what God is doing in her life. Please welcome her as she comes forward.
My name is Olivia Haas. Many of you know me best as Olivia Carrasca, having been raised in this church my whole life. For those of you who don't know, this is my husband, Steve, and our daughter, Eleanor. I've been blessed to be encompassed in faith, love, and support from this church family from my birth to my baptism, confirmation, marriage, and the most recent baptisms of my husband and our daughter. Not only in times of celebration, but also in times of sorrow, this community has truly embraced us in love and prayer. I was asked to speak about why I tithe here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. To me, it's a silly question to even ask me why I would tithe to this community full of gracious, kind, compassionate, and loving people I lovingly call my church family. Being a recreational therapist in a nursing home and the wife of a fireman, we don't exactly bring home the big bucks, but that doesn't stop us from tithing. Our church family is the first to send a thoughtful card of prayer and the first to check up on us when we've been absent. Our church family is more than the building. It's the people and the missions that it supports. It's the prayer quilts and shawls, the crop walk, the incredible music programs, Sunday school, vacation Bible school, youth group, and serving at St. Andrew's, to name a few. It's the music that you find yourself singing after church, the fellowship you find through a game of cards at the parsonage. It's the presence of prayer when you need it most. It's all of you. Tithing to the church is one of the ways we can show our gratitude and support to our church family. Winston Churchill once said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life of what we give." To my church family, all of you, thank you for supporting me in my faith journey my entire life, and now encompassing that love and support to my husband and daughter in their faith journeys. You're the reason I stand here today. Thank you.
Oh, I just want to share with you a couple of things. I just want to say first, thank you for wearing your masks in the sanctuary. I know that for some of you it's uncomfortable. For some of you, it poses additional risks. I just want to share with you, we received a note from one of our sister churches here in the Brighton area that there was a significant outbreak in the church service over the last 3 weeks. And this church didn't have a mask policy, and so we're certainly praying for them as they move through their time in this pandemic. They had to cancel all of their services and just hold worship services online. But 14 people right here in Brighton have received the coronavirus because of the worship services on a Sunday morning. And I'm grateful for you all being here and keeping each other safe by doing hopefully a small thing so that we can prevent a big thing from happening. And I thank you for doing that, for doing a small thing to keep people safe. I want to let you know next week, if you can bring those estimate of giving cards, it really does not matter to us what's on those cards. It really doesn't. If you bring back a card that says you're going to give $5 in the next calendar year, we will receive that with tremendous gratitude. But those cards help us plan for the upcoming year, and they help us build a responsible and balanced budget as we move into 2021. So next week, if you want to bring those cards and put them into the offering plates as you come into worship or as you leave worship, it would mean the world to us. And we thank you for your generosity and gifts. I wanted to share with you almost a month ago, we had a scrap metal drive, and I wanted to share these updates with you. $371 came in from a trailer loaded with wires, motors, and Christmas lights. That's pretty good, right? $531 came in a trailer filled with copper and brass. $41 for computer boards. That's pretty good. $270 from items that we set out for resale. $1,222.86 for two dumpsters, which means $2,435.86, which Ginger says was not bad. In fact, our second best of all time. So here we are in the middle of a pandemic, nearly setting records for the money that we're giving to missions. So thank you for your generosity, for those who volunteered and gave of their time taking apart electronics so that they can be recycled. Wanted to share with you, Trunk or Treat will be next Sunday, October 25th, 3 to 4 o'clock in the Whitmore Lake site and 5 to 6 at Brighton. We need people, if you're willing to decorate your trunk, there will be an award that goes out to the person who decorates their trunk the best. So I encourage you to spend some time this week putting together an ornate Halloween car. If you want, you can contact Bailey Brown. If you haven't met her yet, we encourage you to visit with her after worship so that you can get to know her and she can get to know you. She can share with you additional details about that mission and ministry if you want to help us out make Halloween special for folks in our community. As you depart from this place, carry the hope with you. The light will always shine brightest when it is the darkest. So carry your light and let it shine. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.